Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Marianne!
Brian!
I'm so happy you're back on the program. It's always a joy to see you.
It's such a pleasure to be here, really.
Good. You are a Pittsburgh treasure.
Thank you.
Has anybody sung the national anthem at the Pirates games more times than you have?
I'm sure there must be.
Well, you do the... You've done the football, too,
oh,
right?
Oh, I do the Steelers and the Pirates. We're trying to get into the Penguins.
You have
Do you have anybody we can, you know, slip in that...
Well, you can slip there. I mean, that's probably what I would do if I ever set foot on the ice. But I surprisingly, with the time I spent in arts and culture, you might be shocked that I don't have a connection at the Pittsburgh Penguins. But I know what a big Steelers fan you are.
I am.
So I always get excited when I hear that, you know, you get to be in the... what do we say? The stadium.
Oh,
I was almost at ball field.
It's wonderful.
Word?
Yes. I'm really a sports fanatic of Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh sports. I love it.
Are there any operas about football?
No.
Why
is
baseball.
That? We have baseball. You know, Pittsburgh Opera did the Summer King 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's close.
And that was a big success. But I don't think there is any other opera about football or soccer or anything like that.
Well, if there would be one, I think Pittsburgh would be the place to debut it.
I bet.
And you're back with Pittsburgh Opera, playing the witch in Hansel and Gretel.
Oh my goodness.
I guess it was it was inevitable. Sooner or later, you gotta play a witch, right?
Do you know what? A lot of my roles, just a funny side story, in London, they wanted me to do a lecture recital. And they wanted me to title it. And I thought, what would be a very interesting kind of title that I could come up with about the roles that I've done? And I came up with it. And so I called and I said, well, I have my title. I'm a little bit nervous that it might not suit you. You know, it might be a little bit, you know, too vulgar or something like that. And she said, no, do tell me, Marianne. And so I said, I would like to call it Queens, Witches, and Bitches.
I knew we were going to get the B word.
Yes. And so a lot of my roles, even, you know, they consider Azucena like some type of witch, or her mother was a witch. Yeji Baba from Rusalka is a witch. So this witch, of course, is a true witch. And she is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Most are familiar with the story of Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, right.
Hansel and Gretel. Is it?
Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel and Gretel.
Yes.
So, yeah, this witch, you know, has a taste for children.
Well, you know what? She loves the, I guess, the flavor of their fingers and their tongues and whatnot. But it's, you know, it's a charming... there's something sad about... the story, of course, with the children and the mother
is kind of... A little bit, you think?
Oh, boy, she's kind of brutal. And, of course, they're pushed out into the woods because the mother is so angry at them because they spilt the milk and whatnot. And she, not thinking about pushing them out into the woods, and that big witch is out there to get them. Well, she got them almost.
Yeah.
But it's a role that is... it's not an easy role, Brian. It's quite the range. You know, it has a lot of mezzo qualities to it, but there's also some really high notes.
Mm.
And, you know, you could almost say that it's like a Wagnerian role in a lot of ways, really.
Mm. I can see that.
Yeah, it's a really difficult role, really.
And we were talking about her earlier before we started filming. You said that she's actually there's a lot of tenderness to her character, but it's kind of tough because technically, you know, she does eat children.
Oh, yes, she does. But in her manipulation to get them into the house, she you know, is very coy to get them in. You know, she says she has all of these wonderful chocolates oozing with brandy and
she's getting them
strawberry pies. Yes, exactly.
So is it the what thing I remember most from this is the candy house? Is intact in this?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. You get a house made of candy.
And the kids, when kids see candy, they love it. That's one of the things that
adults
have.
Too. Okay, let's come on. Now you put some Godiva down here on the table. I'm gonna have to excuse myself for a good 5 minutes. But I love the candy house. I'm excited to see what it looks like on stage. You know,
I am too. There's part of the set there that we're working with, but I'm anxious to see what the whole set looks like. Also,
it's not very practical, but you know, if you had to furnish a candy house for yourself, what do you think primarily would be in yours? What's your...
Oh, Reese's Pieces. You know? Reese's peanut butter cups, for sure.
They're sturdy. I think they'd make a good shingle.
Yes, they would. I also like Skittles.
A little color there. Yes, you could color coordinate. Yes, you know, you could have like your green room and your red room. Oh, I like where you're going with this.
I like peanut M&Ms too. Mm. Oh, right. And I also like $100,000 bars, all delicious, nice and gooey.
Mm. That's a little bit of an obscure one. That you have a refined taste in candy, ma'am. To put one of those $100,000, is that what they are?
$100,000 bar.
Or are those, is $100,000 and $100,000 bar two different things, or am I thinking of the same thing?
I don't know. Is it $100,000?
I'm going to look it up, but either
$100,000? You know, now that you say it, I just know that they're delicious and they're gooey and they're chewy and it takes a lot.
This
really
says a lot about, I think, your personality, that you can go from a Reese's cup to a $100,000 bar. I mean, that's your bio, basically.
Well,
that's all
that
you need to put in the front. No, I don't mean that, but I mean like that diverse, you know, whimsical,
I mean, any kind of chocolate. Oh, Halloween is my favorite. One of my most favorite.
So this is a great show for kind of the Halloween season. I mean, it's going to open November 3rd, so we're a little past Halloween there. But still, you know, the notion of witches and enchantment is still in the air. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's at the perfect time, mm-hmm. You know. And there is something spooky, you know, about the kids being in the forest and they hear all of these noises, and they're kids. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, and that this kooky woman wants to, like, cook them. It's terrifying.
It is
terrifying. You know, a lot of these fairy tales, you know, we look back. I mean, we may be desensitized because we heard them so much as kids, but when you really think about it, oh, my gosh.
No, they really can be. But, you know, in this particular opera, the original tale, the Grimm's tale is really... It's really scary. But then this is derived from that, and it's much less, so scary. I mean, it's for kids and for adults, too, because the adults will love it.
Oh, yeah.
The music in this score, Brian, is awesome.
Yeah, composed by Engelbert Humperdinck, not to be confused... with what the British lounge singer Engelbert Humperdinck,
right?
So Engelbert Humperdinck, who composed this, I guess, was a German composer.
Yes, absolutely.
Many many years ago, like an old German composer. And the Engelbert Humperdinck that most of us probably know from, you know, is a completely different guy who is alive and, by the way, performing in Greensburg.
Greensburg.
Either now or somewhere around the time that this is happening. That's hilarious.
Isn't that funny?
Because, you know, when I first saw him, I'm like, oh, I didn't know he wrote operas, too. Well-rounded fellow.
Just about maybe 150 years later, or earlier, I should say.
That just blows me away. So, yeah, if you don't be confused, you're not going to hear a lounge version of Hansel and Gretel.
No, not at all.
But
by the way, I really love Engelbert Humperdinck.
What's like one of his like songs that most people would know? Like, what's?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think.
Because I was trying to think too. Yes. I just the name sticks in my head more so than anything the guy has ever.
Really,
sung.
I can't think of the songs right now, but I loved his voice.
Well,
I
after
still love
you see Hansel and Gretel, if you need more Humperdinck, you can just check out the other one in Greensburg. But come to this first.
Yes, exactly.
This a beloved fairy tale for sure. And sung in English, we should say.
Yes. Yep. I'm going to tell you, believe it or not, 30 years of career coming up that I've had, I have never sung in English.
In an opera?
In an opera. I've sung songs in English, but I've never sung an opera in English.
That is wild. I never guessed that.
It's really wild.
So this is kind of making history here a little bit.
Well, you know what? It's like my debut of singing in my own language. You know,
that, after 30 years.
Yes.
And so people who maybe have followed your opera career, they don't know what you sound like in English.
No, exactly. Well, you know, I'm known really as an Italianate singer.
That's right.
You know,
right.
Anzucena, Eboli, Amneris, these kinds of roles. And that's what my career was built on, was the Italian repertoire. And of course, I've done German. I've done things in French, Czech, Russian.
Wow.
But never, ever in English.
So one might assume that it's easy to, you know, sing in your native language. But after so many years of not, is this a very special challenge for you?
It was a huge challenge because when we speak, you know, when we talk, it's our native tongue, we don't think about it.
Right.
You know. But when you're singing and you have to let the last person in the last row of the Benedum, a 2,800 seat house, make them understand the words that you're saying. Now, we have, of course, the optrans and whatnot, the surtitles. But if we didn't have those surtitles, I want them to hear what I'm saying, because the words in this opera, there are a lot of them, they're very important, because that's the charm of who she is, and of course the entire opera. You know, we want to hear all of those words. So I took it to my teacher and coach in London, and we worked on it, and it really basically is all about talking like this and enunciating everything through the musical line, but not interrupting it. And it's like singing in German.
That's a little terrifying, though.
Yes.
I think it might be appropriate for your character. I felt like I was back in school and the teacher was mad at me,
exactly.
Is what that...
Because you know what? It takes a lot of concentration for me, because even though it's my language, I now have to think a lot more about the final consonants, the beginning consonants, and everything in between. When I'm just talking, I don't think of anything like that.
Right.
But then you have to make those last consonants or those first consonants just fly to the end of the theater.
That should be a banner on here. Marianne Cornetti in English for the first time. And people might be like, what?
It's amazing. it's truly amazing. And it was a little bit... I didn't want to say terrifying, because that's you know, a little stretch, but it felt so uncomfortable at first, you know. But as my coach said, he said, Marianne, you have to treat it as though it's the German language.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah.
I think you got this.
I think so?
Yeah. I have confidence.
I hope so. I do have to tell you a funny story.
Yes, please.
Because the translation in the translation that we're using is by Corey Ellison, and she's from New York, and she's a wonderful librettist and whatnot, and she's a good friend. And in this translation, I have to sing a very high note, a high B, saying my house, because in English we have a lot of diphthongs, whereas the Romance languages, they don't have those diphthongs.
Uh-huh.
So, on a very high, high note, house, very hard to do. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm right in Pittsburgh, so I'm going to say my house. And it works.
A little local flavor
isn't
there.
Isn't that funny?
Something
it works
to watch
in that.
For. And I think, too, playing a character, you know, will kind of help, you know, bring a lot of those sounds out.
Yeah.
Things,
oh, absolutely.
You know?
I tell you, it's a charming role. It's a challenging role in a lot of ways, vocally, dramatically, from a language standpoint of view. So it's not an easy sing.
Mm-hmm. The Witch. Is that what she's referred to? Does she have a name other than
yes.
The Witch?
Rosina Leckermaul is the original German. We're called, in this translation, her name is Angelica Pettifor.
Oh, that's cute. That's
it is cute.
Cute.
It is cute.
Yeah, I guess it's a little long to put on here. So we have Marianne Cornetti as the witch.
That's it.
How do you think she stacks up to, you know, some witches that we know in pop culture, like Witch of the West, Witchy Poo, Glinda? Where would you kind of rank her on the witch scale?
Now, Glinda from Wicked.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now, see, I'm thinking Wizard of Oz.
Oh, the
I'm
Wizard of Oz.
School.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, no, Wicked is more contemporary, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, but the Wicked Witch of the West, you know, she's really scary.
Mm-hmm. Margaret Hamilton
yes,
from the movie.
Absolutely.
And speaking of which is which, and because it's Halloween, there is an absurd television program that I tracked down on DVD, the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
Oh, my goodness. Paul Lynde.
Yeah, and on this special, they had all these famous witches. They had Witchy Prue from H.R. Puff and stuff.
Right.
And they said, like, I think her name is Billy Hayes as Witchy Poo. And they had a couple more. But you couldn't. And they all came out dressed as the witches. But so they had Margaret Hamilton as the Wicked Witch of the West. But you could tell they didn't get the rights to say Wicked Witch of the West when they were introduced. So they said, and Margaret Hamilton. And she's in the green and the witch. And like, that's how she dresses every day.
Right, right. Oh, that's
who
funny.
Was such a nice lady, but just is so well known for that role.
You know, the funny thing is that sort of character of what we know as the Wicked Witch of the West with the green face and the really, you know, ugly. She's not that way in this one so much.
Hmm.
We're developing her more and more. But again, even with the costume, there's something a little bit, I want to say, maybe whimsical is not the right word, but she is.
Hmm.
She's colorful and she just eats kids, that's all. Now
everyone's got to have a hobby.
That's right.
And everyone's got their little hang-ups.
Exactly.
You know?
When I had done this the very first time with Minnesota Opera, couple of years ago,
in German,
she was really whimsical in a sort of a yellow clown costume.
Hmm.
Now, you know, clowns, there are clowns that people are really afraid of clowns, but this was, again, a very charming, I had purple hair and, you know, sort of Bo Peep lips and this kind of thing. So, she's not that typical green-faced, ugly witch.
And I heard that you guys took some photos last evening. I've not seen them yet, but by the time we edit this, I'll have it. And so I'm looking forward to seeing your...
me too.
Your visage.
We were out in the woods, and I'm telling you, those woods were spooky. I would really hate to be in those woods at night.
I think they were more afraid of you than you were of them, considering what you know the getup may be.
Oh,
but I am really looking forward to seeing this. Also, in the cast is Corey Stallings, Ashley Fabian, and Leah Heater as Mother. Opening.
Craig Verm as the dad.
Oh, very good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have Maestro Anthony Walker. And Crystal Manich is our fearless leader as far as our direction. And I need to take a minute to just say, it's so refreshing to be with such wonderful young artists. I mean, they're really artists. They are. And they're also just charming people and really nice. Everybody is so willing to work, you know, with each other and do what we have to do to make it all work for all of us. And it has been, it's just delightful.
That's a great
really
environment.
It is so
work.
Delightful.
But I'm assuming must be a very fun show in rehearsals too.
Absolutely.
Especially
oh
with
a
group like that. And if they don't know what to do with that candy house after the show, just have them, you know, call me. I'll find a place.
Do you know what? Maybe we can wheel it down Penn Avenue.
That'll be my new office. I would love that. Yeah, I mean, it'll probably get old after. I mean, the novelty will wear off. And I'm like, this was a terrible idea when it's raining and chocolate's melting and things. But, you know, for the effect, I'm all for it. So Humperdinck's Hansel and Gretel opens November 3rd and also performs the 6th, 9th, and 11th. Pittsburgh Opera. Tickets start at $14, which is fantastic for an opera.
Who couldn't come?
Yeah, and
really?
Kids' tickets are half price.
Absolutely. And it's just, it's so accessible to get there. First of all, there's no excuses. It's in English. you know, even though the optrends are there for all of the other operas and whatnot, it's in English. It's a wonderful fairy tale. The music, Brian, I cannot stress how glorious this music is. It is, it's like Wagner, but Humperdinck has his own style, and I'm telling you, it is glorious.
Get out to see it, opening the 3rd. Hurry, tickets are selling fast, is what this postcard tells me.
Yes, they are.
I believe it.
They are.
And Marianne Cornetti in English.
Amazing. Always a first. There's always firsts.
Break legs. I'm looking forward to hearing it, my dear.
Thanks, Brian. So good to be back.
Oh,
with
I know.
You.
I know.
Oh,
this was
goodness
great.
Sakes.
Thank you
so
much.
Indeed.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.